now to welcome in Paul Perillo of Patriots.com here on Patriots Preview, driven by your New England Honda dealers. Paul Perillo is brought to you by Peerless Boilers. Peerless Boilers is introducing the new Pavilion tankless water heaters. Get all the hot water you need efficiently and save on your fuel bill year-round. To learn more about Pavilion tankless and find an installer, visit PeerlessBoilers.com or PavilionTankless.com. Paul Perillo joins us from inside Gillette Stadium, where reports at this very moment indicate that rookie tight end Dalton Keene is among the players who will be active today and is warming up on the field. We could see him make his debut. Paul, what do we expect to see from him if he gets some playing time?
I just would be thrilled to see him in uniform, you know, just to see if he can get out there and be part of the offense a little bit. I've been calling for, some opportunities for Asiasi the last couple of weeks. I feel like we're saying the same stuff. And with these young guys, you know, Belichick has said it many times this year, they're further behind than even would normally be the case. But at this point, I just think you're looking for some ways to get some offense jump started. And I think until you give these two young kids some opportunities, you won't know what they can or cannot do. So I think it's a good sign. It certainly looks like from all the guys in the press box that Keene is out there with the group that, the active workout group, so to speak. So I'll be looking forward to seeing if they can get on the field and be part of the offense.
Paul, I feel like this is a pivotal game for the Patriots. They really squandered away a game they shouldn't have against the Broncos last week. And, you know, given their schedule, I just don't think they have a lot of pad room to do that. So that being said, if they were to lose this game, do you feel like there's a chance they could go into sell mode?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. We've been talking about it a lot during the course of the week, and I would be sort of interested in selling some big pieces pretty much regardless, if you could do it under your terms. The only way I want to add is if I can add a guy who I think has some upside and the potential to stay here beyond this year. If you could get, we had one of our listeners this week brought up Michael Gallup from Dallas.
Sure.
He's going to be a restricted free agent. And, so he's a younger guy that potentially you could have for the rest of this year. You give him an RFA tender and you have him for next year, probably reasonably affordable. And he's a young receiver who I think could be, an ascending talent. I'm not as interested in the flashy, Julio Jones types. And I just bring up that name just because, he's one of the bigger names on a bad team. Obviously, I know there's no real chance of the Falcons getting rid of him for the salary cap reasons, but I'm not really interested in looking to do all I can to squeeze every ounce of, every win out of this particular season. To me, 9-7, 7-9, 10-7, I don't really look at this team right now as a true contender in the AFC. I think they could win the AFC East. I don't think Buffalo is by any means, and they look at they're struggling like crazy today against the Jets. So I don't look at Buffalo as untouchable, but I do look at Kansas City and Baltimore and Pittsburgh and, some of those, probably even Tennessee, as teams that I think have more talent than you do. So I'm not, I would be willing to sell off a piece, Chris. If someone wants to give you a first round pick for Gilmore, I'd be interested in that. A Joe Tooney, kind of trade. You plug Michael Wenyu in at left guard for Tooney, and maybe you get a third round pick for him. Now, these are things that I think these next 2 weeks are going to decide for them.
Paul, when you say a first round pick for Gilmore, I would say that if that gets offered, you make the deal either way, regardless of which direction the season is going.
Yeah, I agree.
And the other part is, could they get a first round pick for Gilmore? Is it a possibility he would be the first guy out of the last, Bert Breer pointed this out, the last 10 trades involving a first round pick were for players who were 26 or younger.
Yeah, and I had, another round with my boys this week. Jalen Ramsey got two first round. Jamal, I go, those guys were both 25 years old, and Gilmore's
30.
And
there was sort of the promise of re-signing, maybe not officially, maybe not
exactly
a hard commitment, but the idea of acquire the player, re-sign them to a big deal when you get them in your building and keep them.
Yeah, that's the idea, and that's kind of what I would be interested in acquiring. I don't want to give up, significant resources to bring someone in here unless it's part of the future. I don't want to bring in, someone to finish out this particular season and maybe make me a little bit better, give me a better chance to win the division. Now, listen, if to Chris's point, you go out and win a game or two, and all of a sudden you right the ship and you realize, hey, when we're playing at our best, we can play with these teams. then maybe you switch course and figure out what you want to do. But right now, to me, Beadle, I'm with you. If regardless of what happens, if someone wants to give me a first-round pick for some of my assets that I think I'm going to probably lose at the end of the year, I'd be interested in it.
Yeah, I just think it's sort of complicated, Paul, from an optics standpoint. Not that Bill Belichick has ever really cared about that, but he right. might care a little more than normal because this is year one, you know, AB after Brady. It's complicated to me by your division, which I think is going to keep you in it. And so it sort of looks like you're waving the white flag if you start selling off these pieces. Now, maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's sort of like a Jamie Collins trade and, you know, you sell something off and you keep going. But they could do that when they had Brady and ready-made Super Bowl contending teams. I just don't think the margin for error on this team is as great. And I think it does sort of, you know, if you trade a guy like Gilmore, you can make the argument he's your best player overall. If you trade your best player, I think it's hard to make the argument that you're making your team better for this year and that, you know, it doesn't in any way decrease your chance of making the playoffs. I just think it's a different scenario this time for Bill.
I think you're absolutely right in terms of you can't make the argument that you're better on paper, on the field. You're not better, just like the Jamie Collins trade. But I wonder if you lose your number one corner, how much worse does that make you? How much more does that hurt your chances of winning the division? You know, if you plug J.C. Jackson in full time and work with him, now you become, you know, pretty thin, you know, because now you're an injury away from potentially having some concerns. I would not advocate just giving him away. But if you felt like you could get something for the future, I don't think it would necessarily prohibit you from continuing to go on and win the AFC East this year and doing whatever you were going to do anyway. Yes, you're not as good, but I don't think that would be the waving the white flag.
All right, Paul, so what do you expect to see from Jimmy Garoppolo today?
Yeah, I think it's going to be I think we're going to have to see a lot from him because I can't imagine the Patriots are going to stand there and allow San Francisco to just run the ball the way they normally do. And I think they're going to put a lot – this game, their plan is to put this game in Jimmy's shoulders. I would come after him. I would see if he can get him thrown off his back foot. I think he'll throw some picks and throw some balls in danger. And I think that's the way the Patriots have to attack this game. I'd be curious to see how he holds up with that. But, you know, to me, the angle just doesn't look right. You know, I watched some of those split screens that Collinsworth was breaking down Sunday night against the Rams. And, yeah, I mean, statistically, you look at that game and he was excellent, but he really did very little in that game. It was a lot of screens and a lot of jet sweep action, little
touch passes.
It's
kind of the story of his career.
Yeah, but, you know, like I think back, Chris, to last year, and I think of games like at New Orleans and the game at Seattle in the last game of the year. There was a game late in the year on like a Saturday night, I think around Christmas time, to the Rams where he had to complete a couple of third and longs on a last-second field goal drive. I haven't seen anything like that this year. Anything where he's had to drive the ball downfield, I haven't seen anything. And I think it's got to be, you know, at least partly due to that ankle. He just does not look – he didn't look right to me last week at all.
All right, Paul, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, looking forward to it, guys.
All right, Paul Perillo of Patriots.com joining us here on Patriots Preview, driven by your New England Honda dealers. Do you have something to add, Chris?
No, I think in a lot of ways, like what I said, that's sort of the story of his career. He puts up some great numbers, but if you break down the play, it's maybe not quite as impressive, a la, I don't know, Jared Goff.
We've got the scene setter coming up with Bob Soucy. Don't bring up Jared Goff again, okay? We've had enough Jared Goff mentions for one show. The inactives are out. I'm going to give them to you right now before we take a quick time out. Here are the Patriots inactives. Carl Davis, Kyle Duggar, Brian Hoyer, J.J. Taylor, Miles Bryant, and rookie tight end Devin Asiasi. Dalton Keene is not on that list. It looks like Dalton Keene is in the mix at tight end today. We'll talk to Bob Soucy about that. Coming up next, right here on the Safety Insurance, 98.5 The Sports on Patriots Radio Network.